Hi, I'm Erica Ramirez, founder of Illy and host of What About Your Friends, a brand new show on the Ringer Podcast Network dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. Every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, I'll be talking with my best friend, Steven Othello, and your favorites from within the Ringer and beyond about friendships on TV and movies, pop culture, and our real lives. So join me every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed where we try to answer the question TLC asked back in the day, what about your friends?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
Shoes?
If you weren't on the WrestleMania card yet, and you had your choice between reaching your hand into a bag and taking the opponent that comes out of it, of the remaining unassigned potential opponents, or going out and running your mouth and getting Stone Cold Steve Austin to come out and stun you, which one would you pick?
That's not even a question. Are you kidding me? I would take a Stone Cold Stunner over a WrestleMania match.
What if it was like a guaranteed 21 minute, like it's going to be a 4.5-star classic match no matter who it's with?
So you're basically asking me, should I satisfy the Meltzer marks or should I satisfy this nice paycheck I'm going to get from being in the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin? I'm going to take Stone Cold Steve Austin 10 times.
Okay, related question. How much time would you spend practicing the stunner cell?
So here's the thing. I've always pictured myself getting Stone Cold stunnered, right? And I've always thought there's either one or two proper cells for it, right? You either got the Scott Hall / Pat McAfee, where you just literally stunned and your body just freezes and you fly in the air. Or you got the classic Dwayne The Rock Johnson, where you get stunned and you do a backflip, your leg hits the ropes, you fall all over yourself. I feel like the Rock's little barrel roll that he does after he gets stunned might be the safe way to do it. And it just looks a little better as well. Like, you know, and on top of that, if Stone Cold can't like curse me out and pour a beer on me as he's doing it, then what's the point? All right. What's the point?
Yeah.
Really milk that shit.
I think I would spend months. I mean, every available moment practicing for it just to look exactly like Vince McMahon every time he got stunned. Just somehow.
The worst Stone Cold Stunner Cell in the history of Stone Cold Stunner Cells. Good Lord.
But it would be like a tribute, like an homage, you know, like CM Punk wrestling a Bret Hart match. I think
in a weird way, in a fucked up way, like Vince makes it look more painful than it has any right being, right?
Like, he makes it look like it really hurts like the knees and the lower back.
Oh, for sure. Like his neck is like being held together by thumbtacks, gum, and some silly putty. Because it looks like he has a broken neck every time he takes Stone Cold Stunner, just because he doesn't know how to really fall. Like his, like the people that he pays to fall gracefully.
We're going to talk about people that don't have WrestleMania matches, but first, let's start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
Listening to
and you are listening to.
And you're listening,
you're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Masked Man Show. Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right, Dave. How you doing, bro?
I'm a little bit under the weather. Thanks for holding it down last week with Ben for me.
You make you make it so easy. You make it seem so easy. It was very, very difficult.
I know. Well, listen, and it took me like 5 years to be able to like string one sentence together to start the show. So they, and for the longtime listeners that know that, I really appreciate you. Sticking around the whole time. We're going to talk about people that don't have WrestleMania matches. There was an LA Knight tweet today that had some relevance. I really want to open the show, though, and talk about SmackDown. Two big notes. One, Rey Mysterio, Hall of Fame. But first, I want to talk about, because it's always newsworthy, it's always worth discussing, the way they closed the show. And the way they've been closing, you know, running these segments for a couple of weeks now with Cody and Sami Zayn standing tall together. They're doing a really, obviously, very deliberate job of keeping Sami Zayn very involved in the main event picture. Do you think that they're threading the needle here? Do you think that they're actually pulling off this? I mean, obviously, Cody's getting a good reaction. Cody's over, whatever. And we're not anywhere near the territory of Blutista and Daniel Bryan or anything like that. But there's still this thing, this cloud hanging over everything. You know, at the end of the day, Sami Zayn's not going to be in that main event at WrestleMania. Are they threading the needle, or are they giving us too much at this point?
That's a really hard question to answer. I find myself thinking about that the past couple of days. You know, I think the good thing that they have going for them is Cody is not Blutista, like you said. He's not any of these guys who had to have WrestleMania sort of hijacked for them. Cody's over. People like Cody. People love, you know, what he means to this storyline and how it makes sense to still have Sammy in the picture, right? So I'm glad that they didn't do what they usually do, which is just like as soon as Elimination Chamber is over, it's like, all right, like they're, you know, like just back to regularly scheduled old programming, right? Like even though we're about 2 weeks away, there's still no real Sami Zayn match at the moment. There is no real, he's kind of kept his mission statement the same, where he's like, I'm going to take down the bloodline some way, shape, or form. And I kind of get the feeling that Sami's going to stay involved in the main event without necessarily being in the main event. Like, it's either going to be, I don't know if he's going to cause Roman the titles or he's going, like, I get the feeling that even if he's not officially added, like, he's going to play a very integral part into what happens with the bloodline at WrestleMania, right? So I think they're doing a really good job of threading the needle that way. But this week was the first time I kind of felt like, kind of dragging a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, this is the first time in the entire bloodline story, probably since, I don't know, October, I want to say.
Yeah.
That I was like,
what is that
not
face?
Not much. And again, I want to be perfectly clear. This is only because they've put such an incredible high bar to clear as far as like weekly television and like pay-per-view and like storytelling and like people saying they should get an Emmy award for the way they're doing that. Like, obviously, like that comes with all that being said. I would say this past Friday Night SmackDown was the first time I was kind of like, that was wrestling stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I think what's made the bloodline storyline so good is that like it takes elements of like The Wire, it takes elements of like mob films, it takes the elements of like all like really quality high level, and Game of Thrones, like really quality high level TV that, you know, we all watch and enjoy. And if you kind of took the medium out of it, you'd still say this is great written television, this is compelling stuff. But this week was the first time that I really felt like, oh, okay, this was wrestling. Like, this is very much a pro wrestling thing, too. Not that it's bad, but it kind of, I want to say it equaled itself out for the first time in about, like, 4 or 5 months. It just kind of felt like, all right, well, you know, this is what you do when you want to keep somebody hot and, you know, you keep two of the baby faces together. Like, it just felt a little, I'm not going to use the word forced. Yeah. I'm going to say it's the first time it felt a little confined to a pro wrestling box. I'll put it that way. What do you think?
Well, the reason why I asked is because it did start to. It does feel like we're in a rhythm, and it does feel like a little bit conventional. So, conventional?
And conventional. I think maybe that's what you mean by the
check the right box. Here's the really smart thing they're doing is keeping KO and Sammy apart. You know, letting that drama sort of play out. We're not immediately, like you said, into the setting up the whatever tag match for WrestleMania we're going to have. And I do like keeping Sammy involved. I think that they're doing it right, because I think that when we get to WrestleMania, what you said is exactly right. This is what I wrote down. We're all going to expect a Sammy run in the main event. And that's the correct note. I think that we need to be going in expecting, because I think we'll probably deliver, right? Mm-hmm. The way that, I mean, you're going to be excited for it still when it happens. But I don't think they're over promising too much. It is interesting. I mean, just in a very, we all said leading up to Elimination Chamber and before, like, could you imagine Sami Zayn being the unified champion of WWE? I think most people said no. I mean, said yes, you know, obviously in storyline, but no in some sort of vague, you know, some sort of abstract way. But it is still sort of surreal to see him and Cody Rhodes being the two guys standing tall at the end of a segment, like on Friday, you know, I mean, it's pretty interesting. Roman Reigns in kayfabe, by the way, just doing a killer job, just staying home by the pool and letting his dudes like keep him as the most important guy in pro wrestling. What a great job they've done. It's so funny, man. I've referenced this before, but you used to be able to go see house shows with like the Usos and Sami Zayn teaming up, and Sammy, this is when Sammy was basically just like a hanger on, like wasn't really wrestling, you know, right. And Sammy would do the Superman punch, you know, Sammy would like basically cosplay as Roman Reigns just to get the crowd going, and people would go nuts because it was just funny, you know, but it's so wild that we've come from there all the way to here where like all that stuff really matters. And Roman Reigns still gets to sit home and be the most important guy in pro wrestling. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I would say in addition to that, one thing that I think what preceded that go home segment for the show was Jimmy like kind of explaining his actions and saying, you know, basically why he did what he did to Sammy. And it was very, he used his words very carefully, right? Like he said specifically he did this for his brother, and he knew he was about to get got by who? Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman basically said, hey, if Jay doesn't come back, I'm taking this out on your brother. Right. So in no uncertain terms, Jay said, hey, this is family stuff. This is why I turned on Sammy. He said he didn't want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, and on top of that, when he first got into SmackDown that day, the first thing he said after Paul Heyman hugs him is, yo, you tell Roman when he gets here that I'm here, and Roman never shows up. Right. So I think the way it's starting to really, you know, crystallize as far as like how this bloodline story possibly ends is like all great empires, right? Like from within, you know what I'm saying? So like the more I think about it, the more I just kind of see like a insurrection of the bloodline, like an uprising between Jimmy, Jay, Sammy, Kevin, Cody, like some Avengers type shit, you know what I mean? Where they just fucking, you know, get all the Infinity Stones and finally snap their fingers and rid themselves of Roman. But it's starting to feel like, even though they may not all be involved in the match, I think mentally it's all going to eventually just catch up to him. And I think that's kind of what's going to culminate at what happens in WrestleMania. You know, Jay said it very clear as day. Like, he didn't come back to the bloodline for Roman. He didn't come back to the bloodline to reunite the entire bloodline. And they still haven't all stood together since the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to take off there. And still, even though it did feel like very wrestling paint by the numbers this past week, and I thought that part was interesting, it did kind of feel like, all right, it's not just cut and dry. It's not just way back to the basics of the good old bloodline again. Like, there's still some nuance here that still needs to be explained.
I agree. It was a busy Raw. We mentioned Bautista early on.
Yes.
There's a rumor that Dave Bautista is going to be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I don't know if you heard that one.
I heard.
But the only person that we know for sure, there's also a rumor about the great Muda getting inducted. The only person we know for sure at this point is the living legend Rey Mysterio Jr., who they announced
so awesome
on Raw would be a big inductee into the Hall of Fame, which is cool.
I hate to sidetrack here, but I do want to kind of give Rey some props a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I really sat there while I was watching that retrospective video, and I don't know why, like, I was like legit like shocked and like popped that Rey was the first inductee. You know what I mean? But like, if you really think about it, I mean, he's probably the most influential wrestler of the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. He's without a doubt the most famous masked wrestler to ever live. He's one of the very few wrestlers that kind of permeate pop culture outside of the WWE. You know what I mean? Like, the whole Bad Bunny stuff took him to another level. And like, his mask is just so synonymous with just like an entire culture. Like, he's like, his mask is almost like a Jordan 1, right? Like, it's like, you could see all the masks you want in the world, but like that little thing with the hooks coming out of the mouth or whatever, like that is so, and the crown on top, that's so distinctly Rey Mysterio that, like, you know, I don't know how much you keep up with sneaker culture, but like, you know, Nike shooing a bunch of people for like ripping off their designs and like making like all these like knockoff versions of it. Like, Rey Mysterio's mask is like the Air Jordan 1 of Lucha masks. Like, he is the guy who kind of put it on the map. And no matter where you are, even if his face isn't even in the mask, you know, that's Rey's mask. You know what I'm saying? So it was really cool that he's the first inductee. They're in California. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still active. Yeah. Active-ish, I guess. And, you know, I think the whole Dom component of it makes it really interesting, too, now. Because it's like, oh, okay, like, this, if this was the whole big play right here, as far as, like, man, like, we've always kind of fantasy booked, okay, what is the Dom Rey Mysterio match like? Is it for the mask? Is it for his career? Is it for... what is it for? You know what I'm saying? And I think now it's starting to come into shape. Like, oh my God. Like, by the time this eventual Rey Dominic match takes place, whether it's at WrestleMania or where I think it's going to happen at WrestleMania Backlash in Puerto Rico, hosted by Bad Bunny, no matter what, like, by the time, like, between now and SummerSlam, like, you're setting up Dominic Mysterio to be like, at the very least, the number two heel in the company.
I have a question. What would a Bape Rey Mysterio mask look like? Like,
what? Oh, gosh. I'm sure he's got one. I'm sure he's got one somewhere.
You think they got one for him?
I'm sure he's got one in that collection. I've seen the Gucci mask. I've seen the Louis mask and stuff. True. I'm pretty sure he got, like, the old school Lil Wayne hustler music, purple Bape hoodie stitching in the mask. Like, I would pay a hefty amount for that, too.
The little, like, stars coming down off the side where the bird head normally is and stuff. Yes. Yeah, that'd be great. Don't think we're going to do
just
Rey
like
Dom?
A baby Milo type mask where it's just kind of like, you know, little definite, whatever. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
You don't think we're doing Rey Dom at WrestleMania?
I think it starts at WrestleMania, but I mean, you don't do a stadium in Puerto Rico hosted by the biggest pop star on the planet.
Which you called, by the way.
Which I call, by the way, tick tick. Listen to the show; you'll learn some things, and not have Rey and Dom headline that thing.
I just sort of immediately went to Rey Dom at WrestleMania, if that's where we go, and then for the stadium show, maybe it's like Rey Bad Bunny versus Dominic and Damian Priest.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. I could definitely see that. He's definitely going to have to wrestle. And if he's going to wrestle, he's probably going to be alongside of Rey. So I could see that.
That they announced that thing. That's like a midweek news drop, right? It's like, hey, by the way, after this WrestleMania stuff is over, forget about that. We're going to Puerto Rico, man. Yeah. We're going to have an epic show.
What is it? Their next like five pay-per-views all in stadiums or something like that? Or
there's a Saudi Arabia show. There's one other one.
Backlash is in Puerto Rico. Money in the Bank's in the UK.
The
Saudi show is in Saudi. And then I guess SummerSlam is probably in a stadium too. I don't know where SummerSlam's at, but I'm sure it's in a stadium. It's five year next pay-per-views if you count WrestleMania, all in stadiums. That's incredible.
It's an interesting thing with this. This is actually an interesting segue. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to say anything else about the Puerto Rico show?
No, I'll never get in the way of a good segue.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
SummerSlam's at Ford Field, that is in Detroit. It is a big stadium show. Yeah, I mean, they're just doing these events. I mean, they're just going bigger and bigger every time. And it's a good look, you know? I mean, whatever. It makes everything feel like a really big deal. It does sort of feel like, too, you can
already... Do you think it might be Ray's last match?
In Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
No.
Do you think?
Well, here's the thing. Rey Mysterio is the sort of guy that never needs to retire, right? No. He can be 50% of Rey Mysterio till he dies.
Well, that's the point. I mean, I feel like that's the point of having a mask, right? Like, you can just, you know, throw that thing on and go 20 years back in time whenever you feel like it, right?
or just send out a body double with the mask on.
So not Kalisto or one of those guys.
But Ray doesn't need to retire, right? And he's like the Undertaker. He's going to keep getting a pop every time he comes out in character and everything. But if they do some sort of mask, you know, really passing of the torch angle, that does sort of signal the end. I mean, that's the tradition in lucha culture, right? I mean, it's like if you lose, you're kind of done. Mm-hmm. Not if you lose a mask match. You can keep wrestling after you lose your mask. But if you like formally hand the mantle down, and then you're not wearing the mask anymore, right? Then what's the pop? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think it's his last match, but it could be. It could be. Who knows? He's still so good out there, man. I mean, he's had like 4.5-star matches in the past calendar year. I mean,
Do you feel like that, the way you just mentioned the mask thing, do you think that's one of like the last sort of like, does it get like an Undertaker losing a streak sort of reaction? If like Ray like stands in the middle of the ring,
well,
defeated,
only because
takes off his mask.
It will get a great reaction. I think that if they, I don't know that they're going to have a mask, that sort of match, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do the Lucha de Apuestas thing. I mean, they have his mask and Dom's hair up because Dom's hair is just such a thing of...
Yeah, he's really looking like young Eddie now, for real.
Yeah. That would be really cool. That would be a cool thing to do in Puerto Rico. A little bit. But I do think that it's... I don't know that they would ever actually put his mask on the line for the same reason I just said. They can keep selling the mask. They can keep selling the action figures. They can keep having him come back. There's no real upside to it, especially when Dom's a heel, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, does that really add to his character? No, we want to see his smarmy face. You know, mm-hmm. We don't need him wrestling in the mask. But
well, you could do the NXT Andrade/Legado thing where he comes out with the mask.
Sure. But he could still do that. He doesn't have to formally like retire his father. He could just beat him and he can start wearing the mask to the ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like whatever. It's just a triumph. This is all sort of beside the point. I don't think he needs to retire and I don't think that it would ever need to be that big of a deal. But the match itself would be a really big deal. I still feel like it's going to be that tag match because I think that's how you get all of the, that's the real main event. But maybe, they could go in a lot of different directions for that. I don't know. It's exciting. It's interesting to see how they book for a show like that. And what, I mean, I'm kind of more interested to see what the rest of the card would look like too, right? I mean, are they booking it out like a super, like a big MSG show, you know, or like we're catering to one audience or something? Or is this right. like, you know, a full on pay-per-view? I mean, would that be the main event, or would they have a title match? I mean,
there's a part of me that believes like all Backlash matches need to have some sort of world title implication.
I guess that would make sense. Yeah. We're lashing back from WrestleMania.
We're lashing back. There it is. In most cases, I would say it's really hard to have a stadium show without Roman Reigns. I don't think it would be in this case, right? Like, Bad Bunny could say, hey, I'm going to, you know, show up to the stadium and burp for 5 minutes and it will sell out, right? Like, I think it sell out. I might be, you know, I don't know if tickets went on sale or not, but I think WrestleMania Backlash is the only sort of like stadium show I can see where they probably won't need Roman / the Bloodline to sell that thing out, right? Only because you have Bad Bunny here. So I don't know. I mean, I could see a world where Roman is, or Cody at that time is defending the world titles in that stadium. And I could see a world where they're not even on the show. And this is all just, yo, this is a super showdown, but in Puerto Rico, basically, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could also see like a Backlash feels like, I saw somewhere, I mean, and I don't know if this was like a reputable source or whatever, but that one of the options was just doing the Bloodline, three of the Bloodline versus Cody, Sammy, and KO at Backlash.
Okay, I could see that.
Which, you know, feels like about the right size and scope, you know, but or we could just do a one-on-one or a triple threat with Sammy in there. I mean, with the, yeah, that could be the sort of final payoff of Sammy in the main event picture. There's a lot of different ways you could go with that. I find it hard to imagine, even if you could get by with just Bad Bunny burping, I find it hard to imagine they wouldn't use the opportunity to seed the market, right? Let's get Puerto Rico in on these Cody Rhodes t-shirts. Let's create our little, you know, like how Tracy McGrady was the top selling jersey in China forever. You know, it's just like, let's just put them adjacent to Rey Mysterio, to Bad Bunny, to whoever. And let's expand this global audience a little bit.
But don't these next like premium live events all being in stadiums kind of tip your hand a little bit to seeing like, all right, how much do they really believe in Cody? Right. Like,
well, tips your hand. Well, what do you think the answer is? Cause I feel like this is the argument that Cody's going to win. Because you got a lot of necessary dates for the next 6 months.
Yes. Small part of me thinks the opposite, yo.
The closer we get to WrestleMania, I think this is an annual tradition. The more convinced I am that Roman's going to retain.
Yes, exactly. Like it's Tom Brady level of I'll believe it when I see it sort of thing, right? Like I'll pick him up until like he's just not in the playoffs anymore, right?
It's the new Undertaker. Everybody asks what the new streak is. It's not the new streak. It's just the Roman Reigns push.
Like, yes. It's like, how long is it going to go? Man, I just feel like you got these stadium shows and a part of me believes that if Roman's going to drop the title, he's going into like, you know, special attraction mode. Like you're only going to see, I mean, he's already on special attraction mode, but he'll be even more of a special attraction once he's not the world champion anymore. But kind of, I don't know, man. Like, kind of, I get the feeling as the days go by that somehow Roman's going to end up leaving WrestleMania as champion, you know? Like, I don't know. I just get that feeling. I see these stadium shows. I see, you know, the Bloodline storyline still kind of continuing. I mean, Cody's been great, but I almost feel like this is no knock to Cody right now at all. It almost feels something like Daniel Cormier, John Jones, right? Like,
go on.
Daniel Cormier is like Cody Rhodes in this situation, where it's like in any other era of heavyweight championship wrestling, you'd be a fucking goat. You'd be a legend. Oh, yeah. You'd be undisputably, You know what I mean? Like the top guy, like you check every single box on what it takes to be a heavyweight champion slash top guy in the company. You just happen to be in the same era as John Jones, right? And in this case, John Jones is Roman Reigns. And if Roman still feels like he can go, if he feels like he could still give, like, I mean, he's popular right now. Like, he's popping, but, like, I don't necessarily hear any whispers of Hollywood, like, knocking down his door. You know what I mean? On some John Cena shit. Like, you kind of got the whispers with John Cena when John Cena was on his way out, when The Rock was on his way out. Even with Sasha slash Mercedes on their way out, you at least heard some rumblings. Like, yeah, Roman was at a fucking Marvel audition, or, oh, you know, they put him in on one of those screen grabs of like casts of people that they cast like years before, you know, like not even an inkling of that yet. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you would at least hear something about it. And the more I think about it, the closer it gets. I'm just like, there's a part of me that believes Roman and Cody is more than one match, and WrestleMania is just kind of the start of it. You know what I mean? And I just get the feeling. That with all these stadium shows, you still have other opportunities to make Cody, right? Like, you still have, it's not like if you don't do it at WrestleMania, they're going to do it at like the Nassau Civic Center on like a random Monday Night Raw, right? Like, there's at least four or five opportunities in the next, before the summertime, that you can give Cody an incredible moment.
Sure.
In a stadium with all of these people.
You know what's got my gears grinding a little bit?
What's up?
The rumor, and I only saw it because Brian Gewirtz, friend of the show, Brian Gewirtz, tweeted about it. He Gewirtz got mad. Gewirtz just came out with a public declaration. He's like, if you really work for a wrestling company, have some self-respect, quit spreading rumors, you know?
Yes.
Which I get. I used to always think it was so weird that people, especially like mid-level, low-level people, would get some information and they'd just be like, first thing I got to do is pass this on, right?
All right.
But then, you know, you and I traffic in information all the time. Like, I have the constitution not to just blurt everything out on a podcast if it's unconfirmed or like whatever. But man, if you were out here something crazy, we're on the text chain, right?
For like, sure, for sure. Our group chat, if we had a podcast just about our group chat and the things that flowed through our text thread, I'm positive that, you know, that would be a successful podcast on its own. just the rumor mill. We're just talking about shit that we might have heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we talked about the Bad Bunny thing. Like, I'm never going to say anything on here that I don't know with, like, at least 90% certainty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't feel like it behooves me. And on top of that, having self-respect to, like, not spread rumors, you know what I'm saying? Like, I also hear things that I know just as a fan, you don't want to hear from me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd much rather experience this on your own. You know what I'm
saying?
Sure. That's the good and the bad of I guess, being this close to it.
Yeah, it's like, dude, if you find out, I've been at events where I find out, literally like as the event starting or during a match, you know, somebody from WWE will elbow me, watch this part.
Keep my eyes
if I know exactly what's going to happen,
yeah,
I'll look over at, you know, my wife, my kids, my buddies, you guys, whatever next to me, and I'll just be like, watch, just keep your eyes up. But I won't be like, hey, Brock Lesnar is about to get his arm chopped off, you know, like whatever. Like, it's going to be, you know, you got to let someone enjoy it. But anyway, the point of the story is there was a rumor going around that they're setting up heel Lita versus Becky Lynch for SummerSlam. Babyface Becky. No. Is that right? Or are they doing the heel the other way? No, it is heel.
Heel Trish.
Sorry, yeah, that's I got it wrong. Heard. Heel Trish versus Babyface Becky for SummerSlam. And that's where Gewirtz came in. He said, have some self-respect, which is, you know, everybody should have self-respect, okay? Maybe you respect yourself for spreading rumors. I don't know. But have some self-respect. That match may happen, may not, whatever. But you do get the feeling with some of these stories that they're already looking at SummerSlam. And it's not just SummerSlam. It's it's all of the giant shows in between.
Yeah. So, like, I forgot what graphic was circulating, but it was basically just a graphic of the confirmed card so far, right?
And everybody, for WrestleMania?
For WrestleMania. And, you know, y'all read the quote tweets, and the quote tweets are like, does this feel like a WrestleMania card? Does this card feel like it needs to be two nights? And it's just like, yeah. Because, like, it's not just going to be, a lot of these stories kind of began a month or two ago. Same thing with Cody and Roman.
Maybe are we just setting up WrestleMania is like a setup for all the main events to come.
That's what, right? I think.
Look
I
at it. It's like you got the Rey Mysterio angle is gonna lock down the Puerto Rico show. Maybe we'll have like this Drew McIntyre Sheamus Gunther match is gonna end up being the big draw in the next UK show.
Whatever
they do with that feud.
Well, the next UK show is Money going in to the
Detroit.
Bank.
So. Yeah, that's what I mean. They're going to Detroit. You know, that's just a red carpet for a Cody Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes throwback promo.
America, you know? In my trucks. Ford and dying trucks.
Yeah, like, Detroit. Let's do Hard Times Part 2 up in Detroit.
My gosh. Can you imagine the promos of Cody walking through desolate car factories and getting America back on its feet? God, I love it.
So good. So maybe so. But I do want to look at this WrestleMania card because this is it. We're all just staring at this all the time. So here's what we got. We got Rollins versus Logan Paul. We know that's on night one, right? And then none of the rest of the nights are for sure, but we got, you know, pretty sure Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes is holding down night two. And then, you know, the two women's title matches, Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair versus Asuka. I kind of feel like we're going to get Ripley Flair as the main event on night one and then Bianca Asuka on night two, but we'll see. Brock Lesnar versus Omos, Gunther versus, on Raw, we had the five-way to determine the number one contender. Drew and Sheamus got the simultaneous pins. Mm-hmm. It feels like we're going towards a triple threat for WrestleMania. This is going to be the triple banger.
Violence.
The three-way banger.
Violence.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Can't wait. Yeah.
And then Trish Lita and Becky versus Damage Control is finally locked in, which is interesting because there were some rumors that they were going to go a different direction with that. And then Austin Theory versus John Cena. You know, I haven't been on the air since a week ago today. Have not gotten my 2 cents in on the John Cena thing.
Take them.
I know you've talked about it.
I
find it hard to get offended. And I'm going to be honest, I wasn't offended at all in real time. I find it hard to get offended about something that could happen in pro wrestling, about like the inner workings of pro wrestling. If someone came out and just like said a bunch of racist stuff or sexist, whatever, like I could get offended. Like right, you shouldn't say that. But all that said, I don't know if there's a line to cross. I don't know if Cena crossed a line. I do think what he said was to Austin Theory was some version of the work shoot promo that any of us would write for him.
Mm-hmm.
The delivery left a little bit to be desired. But the stuff about nobody being into you, about them piping in crowd noise. I mean, tell me what you think before I go all that. Do you think that broke an unwritten rule? Do you think that crossed a line?
I'm so glad you brought this up. So I watched the Rivals storyline on A&E, and you know, at the end of it, Rock and Cena have like a talk, and you could see them like hugging each other and like having like a close conversation, and you could hear them whispering to each other. I guess they were mic'd up. And he was basically like, listen, I hope, you know, you understand at the end of the day, this is just how I do business. You know what I mean? And look what we did. You know, like I had to go this way. I had to dig down deep because at the end of the day, this is what's best for business. And, you know, to use a terrible term that's been overused, I think that's what Cena is doing with Theory. He's just like, listen, man, if I do this thing my way, you're going to look better for it. I'm going to look better for it. I'm going to look good right now just so you can look great later on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the plan there. And that's what it seems like is the plan. And if and this is Rock 10 years ago, you know what I'm saying? This is before The Rock had anything really to give back as far as like being a mainstream guy. And then now, you know, he kind of sees it with fresher, different eyes than I guess The Rock would have seen it in his position a few years ago. Right. So I think if I'm John Cena, I'm telling Austin Theory, like, yo, I'm giving you the opportunity that Rock gave me 10 years ago. You better come out and roast the fuck out of me every single chance you get. You know what I mean? I'm gonna bring it back to you, But like, you got to go in because this is how it works, you know? And if it gets a little personal, if you talk about the crowd piped in noise, if you talk about stuff that's a little taboo for wrestling promos, so be it. Because at the end of the day, I've done this and this is what's worked.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the question is whether there's a line. Here's what I was thinking, though, because I just happened to see a thing today where John Morrison was in some interview or on some whatever said that Logan Paul, you know, spent a month before every match working it out step by step with Shawn Michaels, which I'm not quite sure what the argument is there. But it is interesting. Like if it weren't Cena, if John Morrison had said the same thing to like a TMZ camera, we would all be super offended, right?
Right.
Or maybe not. But I mean, if he were just like, they pipe in crowd noise for that guy, like it wouldn't have been the same thing.
Are you trying to equate Morrison talking about training with Logan Paul and Shawn Michaels to the piped in crowd noise as far as
no,
like
no,
the
I
secrets?
Just think he's out there saying stuff, but it's wrestling secrets. It's like, I saw somebody online mention Eddie Mansfield this week. He's the guy that did exposed the industry on that John Stossel special that Stossel got slapped when he was backstage, but the in studio stuff, you know, they quote unquote exposed a lot of the business, right? There's a degree to which Cena sort of exposed the business, right? I find it hard to get too offended by it because I do think that that's where they're going. I felt a little bit sloppy. It felt a little bit like they need to, like, if you're going to go that far, I don't know, man.
Because I don't think it was that planned. Like, you could tell, you could see Cena's energy shift when Theory came in and said, nobody forgets about you like they forget about that bald spot. You know what I mean? And he did the whole B-Rabbit thing and showed his hat. And then, like, he came right back at him on some, like, yo, like, I could almost guarantee you there was very little written about what Cena and Theory were going to go out there and do. And I think Cena probably told him, like, hit me below the belt. You know what I mean? Like, I can take it. Like, just give me, I want to genuinely react out there. And then the fans are going to genuinely react out there. You know what I'm saying? We're still talking about it a week later, you know? So, I mean, I think that's people forget, like, outside of being Mr. Make-A-Wish and, you know, headlining a zillion WrestleManias and all that type of shit. Like, it's the promos that got Cena.
Oh, yeah.
That made Cena who he is. Like, it's he could talk his shit. He could rap. He could fucking do whatever the fuck you need. He could be Captain America. He can cut any type of incredible promo you need him to cut. He can do it. And he could probably do it but I'm almost positive he's not doing it with a paper in his hand at this point. He can go out there and just fucking feel it.
Not even a bag of airline peanuts in his hand at this point. we'll see where they go with this. I'm not... I think it's totally fair to say if this had been anybody but Cena and in this arena or any other venue, it would be a lot more offensive. But Cena's got to, I think Cena, both in terms of his like character backstory and his own, you know, his career and just his general legacy, has got the ability to do this, you know?
Yeah. How many asses have you put in the seats? Right? That's what I would say if I was John Cena. I was like, how many people care about your room? Oh, okay. The whole thing was people
don't
care
about
if
they, does it matter whether or not they actually piped in the crowd noise, though? It only matters if they actually did it.
Well, I wouldn't bring it up if it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, Theory didn't necessarily rebuff the statement either. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
He almost looked like he was like, he almost looked like a deer in the headlights when he said it to him. Like, he was like, holy shit, like, he really mentioned that. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. The moral of that promo was, nobody cares about you, Austin Theory. Everybody should care about you, but they don't. And now, after I'm done with you, they're going to care about you. And now look, there he goes.
All right, right before we go, I do want to talk about WrestleMania and the people who don't have matches. There was a tweet today from LA Knight, or yesterday, I don't even know when it was.
Yeah.
Where he says, everybody knows you can't have an LA WrestleMania without LA Knight, but WWE is late to the game, dragging their feet on giving WrestleMania the opportunity for an LA Knight moment. It's about damn time I get a heads up. I'm done waiting. All right. LA Knight needs a match at WrestleMania. He's going to play this role of dude who needs a match at WrestleMania. Whether he's going to get a match, or it feels a little bit like, as I alluded to in the cold open, he's going to get on the microphone segment and get beat up by some legend or legends or whatever. there was a separate rumor that this was the start of a big push for him. Another wink towards what's going to happen between now and SummerSlam, right? I mean, I don't know if, do you think, I mean, I guess it's feasible that we get, I mean, this is totally conjectural. This is totally made up, but you could see, imagine a world in which he gets Stone Cold Steve Austin, comes out and stuns him, and then eventually they're going to have a match together, like down the road. That's who's going to be a main event at SummerSlam or something. I don't know if Stone Cold, you know, they need Stone Cold in Detroit, although certainly he would help. He would sell out whatever venue he went to. Wait, who is a famous Detroit wrestler?
Oh, gosh.
Is that where like Bad News Brown was like kayfabe from?
I think so. I guess you can go Bron Breakker, I guess, technically from Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Kevin Steiners, Nash. Kevin Nash. There you go.
Oh, yeah. All those. Yeah. Well,
shout out to
Minnesota
Nash.
Or Michigan?
Yeah, he's Michigan. He's a Detroit guy.
Sabu.
Sabu's from Detroit.
Sabu. Yeah, because he said he was related to the Sheik, the original Sheik.
Yeah.
They should bring Sabu back. So anyway, a lot of things could happen with that LA Knight thing, and certainly he'll get a spot. He'll get some sort of look. I mean, this tweet.
LA Knight needs a great look just off the strength of making that Bray Wyatt storyline watchable. Right? What a test. They're like, yeah, he made this shit work. Man. Fuck it. We can give him anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But so I was looking through, I was like, well, who else doesn't have WrestleMania matches? Like, what are we going to do? Like, what's going to be the plan for fill in the blank at WrestleMania? There's a bunch of big names that don't have matches lined up. I was scrolling through the superstar, you know, like the roster page on WWE.com. By the way, we got to do a ranking of the funniest just roster page photos. Right now, my winner, I mean, my leader in the clubhouse is Jagger Reed, you know, from NXT, because he's just like hanging out with like one black pupil and one white pupil. And he looks like it looks like his like office headshot, but he's just like randomly has a messed up eye. Like he's the real alternative dude in your IT department. But so anyway, we're scrolling through this thing, looking for everybody who doesn't have matches. Liv Morgan, obviously, just like a recent former champion, you know, like you'd think that she would have a spot. Who else is not on there? Damian Priest, you know, probably involved in whatever the Judgment Day does. Braun Strowman and Ricochet, you know, lost to the Viking Raiders. They could throw that on the card, I guess. I mean, that's a pretty fun match to see. Any excuse to get Strowman and Ricochet out there doing big man, little man stuff. The rest of the Brawling Brutes, you know, the rest of Imperium. I'm not sure that that's really necessary. Kofi just got hurt. So, you know, it's not as nuts, so to point out. But the fact that we didn't have something set up for New Day, you know, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago is kind of glaring. A lot of tag teams missing out here. Gable and Otis, Anderson and Gallows, Shelton and Cedric, if, you know, you want to count them. For singles guys, we, you know, mentioned Woods, Ali, Dolph Ziggler. You know, it's not like a glaring list or whatever, but what do you think? I mean, do you think that they need to get, I mean, to me, the big names are LA Knight and Liv Morgan and Damian Priest. It'd be great if he was doing something, but it seems like if we got every other member of Judgment Day in a match, then maybe we just save you, you know, just rest up for Puerto Rico, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of feels like LA Knight is going into the honorary, I don't know, Miz spot of calling out a legend. Well,
Miz
is the host.
Miz doesn't have one. Miz might get Stone Cold stunned too.
No, it kind of feels like, you know, he's been too good to not have on the card too. So even if he's going to go and talk, even if him and Stone Cold are going to have a promo battle, whatever happens, I think he'll find himself having a significant spot on WrestleMania. The Liv thing is interesting though. She's kind of been like one of the workhorses of the women's division all year long. So like her not having a match is a little funky.
Oh, I didn't even mention. The other one is Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
They don't have an official match. There's all these rumors that they're going to be fighting for the women's tag titles, team titles. And there was a brief moment where it felt like when Lita and Becky Lynch won the titles, that they were going to just toss Damage Control out and just put Lita and Trish against Ronda and Shayna. That's not going to happen, apparently. I don't think Lita and Trish are pulling. I mean, sorry, Lita and Becky are doing pulling double duty.
No.
So, what is there a chance they get the titles off of them in time for WrestleMania?
No.
So
that, no, I don't know. I don't think anybody's really. No offense. I don't know if folks are really clamoring for Ronda Rousey. Like well,
Ronda
Rousey,
if Ronda Rousey's clamoring for Ronda Rousey, that might be it.
That might be it.
One theory. What if there's a throwaway match on Raw where they defend the tag title, where Lita and Becky defend the titles, damage control costs them the match, and then the titles are off? Like, what if we had, like, Shayna and Ronda versus Chelsea Green and Carmella? Champions Chelsea Green and Carmella at WrestleMania.
That could wait. That could wait.
But it gets Ronda Rousey on the card.
She had a WrestleMania type year, yo. She had a year. Liv has had a year. I don't know if Ronda's really had a year where I'm like, oh man, I gotta see her at WrestleMania this year.
So Ronda Rousey, big name, one of the biggest names in combat sports.
Yeah, well.
I'm all about it.
10 years ago.
When that happens, you heard it here first. I know you got to get out of here. Let's close the show. You want to get your plugs in on the way out?
Only one plug. Wiley Mania tickets on sale now. See y'all March 30th. It's going to be nuts.
You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. You can find me on the Book of Wrestling. Be sure to listen to all of the great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. This one, Cheap Beat, Wednesday Worldwide. Thank you guys so much for listening. Apologies as always to John Moxley. We'll see you back here on Thursday, Humanoids.
Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.